We have come to that time of year where we find us in the midst of what we call the holiday season. Let us look at what it is we consider as being holidays. Now, for some individuals, this season may have begun way back in October at Halloween, with its costumes and its candy. For some of us, the season may have begun on Thanksgiving Day, that time when we gather together with family and friends to share a meal and enjoy fellowship. For those of you who are here this morning, the holiday season may have begun the Sunday before Thanksgiving, when our church family met downstairs and enjoyed its annual potluck dinner. It was a time to give thanks and acknowledge the giver of every good gift, and we did enjoy it. But we had barely finished eating the leftover turkey when we found us considering Christmas with its time of commemoration. While it is true that we anticipate and look forward to the holiday season, it is also true that sometimes the individual holidays seem to run together. We have just completed one celebration, when here comes another one for us to look at. And the thing is, each requires its own preparation. And sometimes we get caught up in the activity of doing the preparing. We find us running here and there, shopping for the trimmings associated with the event. We become very busy, and sometimes in our busyness, we forget the reason for the celebration. We exhaust ourselves with outer activity, with no time or energy to contemplate the thanks in Thanksgiving or the Christ in Christmas. And when we do this, we are missing the whole point of the remembrance. Thanksgiving Day has been set aside to give praise, honor, and glory to God. Christmas brings the story of the birth of Christ in each one of us. When we fill our time with the busyness of preparation, we celebrate these events from the surface of our activity. We do not go deeply enough to acknowledge the true meaning of what we are doing, and we leave God out of the celebration. Now, when we think about it, we realize that much of what we do in our time of daily living is repetitious. We establish certain routines which are helpful in meeting the challenges and the demands of the day. But if we are not careful, our established habits become very comfortable ruts, keeping us stuck in the activity of doing the same thing over and over again. Now, I personally think that this is one of the reasons we look forward to the holiday season with anticipation and expectation. These occasions startle us out of our complacency, inviting us to step outside our box of the daily routine. Holidays are celebrated for a reason. And when we observe them, we are asked to consider what we are doing and why we are doing it. Are we merely going through the motions of what we did in times past? Or are we interested in having a new approach? Now, it is up to each one of us to determine how this would work for us. The thing is, when it comes to the holidays, we tend to establish certain routines and traditions that we associate with the remembrance. And in time, they become the accepted practice, one that will be repeated over and over again. For instance, we always go to Aunt Joyce's house for Thanksgiving, but it is Aunt Jeannie who cooks Christmas dinner. In some households, the Christmas gifts are opened Christmas Eve, or perhaps on Christmas Day, early morning, or right after those dinner dishes have been put away. Let us not forget about the Christmas Eve candlelight service at church. It would appear that even the established ritual of our holiday season can take on the appearance of daily routine. So the question for us at this holiday season is this: how do we live our lives in ways that do not become recycled events or weary celebrations? Intuitively, we know that life is not meant to be lived this way. But how do we know what to do and how to do it? Well, how do we look at things? What is our view of life and everything it has to offer? I am convinced that it is our attitude that allows those circumstances and conditions to appear a certain way. What do we carry around with us as our ideas and our opinion? What do we deem to be so important? What could be worthy of our time and our consideration? Well, let us look at our daily routine and what it is that we do. Each day dawns anew. If we were to greet it with the attitude that this is a new time, we are inviting new revelation, new insights, and ideas. Now, I understand that much of what appears as daily living, well, it does remain the same. That is, each morning we get up, perhaps some of us eat breakfast, and then we proceed with what has been established as the day's work. We come home at night, maybe we watch a little television, and then go to bed, only to wake up the next morning and do it all over again. So let us go back to the dawn of the new day and consider our approach to it. When we welcome that new day, let us do so without giving thought to what happened yesterday or what it is that we think might happen tomorrow. Today is really the only time we have, and so that's the one we look at. The recognition is this is the Lord's day. Now, yes, we are still required to get up in the morning and go to what makes up the day's work. And at some point, we will go home. The difference is that we lived it as the Lord's day and not ours. This attitude allowed us to be open to the inner guidance and the direction that reveals solutions that our thoughts would never have imagined. We lived a new day, doing the customary things from a different place of awareness. Now, since I've already mentioned the holiday season, let us see how our attitude might determine that experience. Thanksgiving. Congress decreed that a day would be set aside to give thanks, and they established the holiday known as Thanksgiving Day. Now, all of us know that giving thanks is an activity that takes place in us, which is why some have called it an attitude of gratitude. We also know that this activity does not occur only on that one day that Congress decreed it should be done. Since giving thanks is an inner activity, we do it each and every time we turn within and praise the source of every good thing. If we approach Thanksgiving Day with the attitude of thankfulness, Then it doesn't matter what form the outer celebration takes. It doesn't matter if we find us sitting at Ann Joyce's table with family or out there in a restaurant with friends. It doesn't matter if we find us at a church service or serving dinner at the local shelter. It doesn't even matter if we stick with our established tradition. What does matter is the attitude we carry to the event. When the revelation is one of inner recognition, then the celebration does not become trite, weary, or tiresome. Let us discuss the Christmas celebration. Divine science reveals that the true Christmas story is the one that takes place in us. If we approach this with the attitude that it is a spiritual birth, then all consideration and contemplation is given to the inner revelation. And then it doesn't matter what form the outer celebration takes. If our attitude is the one of a spiritual child, then it doesn't matter where we find us on the day set aside to celebrate the birth. It doesn't matter if we find us sitting at Aunt Jeannie's table, or if we find us assisting the Marines and handing out toys for tots. It doesn't matter if we find us among others, or if we find us in a place of solitude. It is a time of inner recognition that we are that child. Always remember, it is our attitude about something that allows it to appear in that way. Actually, this is law. As in mind, so in manifestation. This is why it is so important for us to establish boundaries when deciding how it is that we contemplate and consider life. What I mean is this. The work of determination takes place in us. Therefore, it is important for us to be mindful of what we invite into and entertain in our consciousness as being true, as having value and meaning. We are the one who decides about attention and about focus. When we lift our view of life on high, we see beyond the form of appearance, tradition, and established routine. We see behind the outer display of what the world considers its event. We are no longer distracted by the activity of busyness and preparation. So in today's lesson, I talk about establishing a new attitude. Now, attitude, it is simply our view. It is how we look at something. Its activity is invisible, but it becomes visible as our world of experience. Now, when we do something new, we are asked to look, consider, and contemplate in a way that is currently outside our usual method of doing things. So let us do talk about that revelation of inner being. At Christmas time, we acknowledge the spiritual birth. It is time to consider our attitude from the identity of this being. When we approach life from the awareness of this self, it does not matter what form the outer world might take. Do you realize what it would be like if we could live life from the awareness of spiritual being? When we gave value to the activity of giving thanks, then that was our only view of the holiday called Thanksgiving Day. Did not matter where we found us. The only intent was to be grateful. When we give recognition to the spiritual self, then our only intent is to live from that idea of us. We are all familiar with the Beatitudes as given to us in the Bible. And so I say, blessed are those whose attitude of life bears witness to the divine presence within. Let us choose wisely what it is that we think about and what it is that we will claim for ourselves. If our only intent is to live the spiritual life, then it doesn't matter where we find us. It doesn't matter if we find us sitting in the place of health or sickness. It doesn't matter if we find us looking at an empty wallet or ample supply. It doesn't matter how old we are or what it is that we do for a living. Living from the attitude of spiritual self allows us to take no thought for our life, what it is that we eat or drink, or what it is we shall put on. It allows us to walk in this world and not be concerned about the form it takes. It allows us to celebrate and enjoy the holiday season without being concerned about what might occur in an outer way. Now, this does not mean that we will no longer be involved with the trappings of the outer way. And yes, there may still be times when we find us in a time of busyness and preparation. At the holiday season, we may even volunteer to cook Thanksgiving dinner. And at Christmas time, we may continue to give gifts, decorate that tree, and send out cards. We understand the true meaning of giving thanks and the true meaning of the spiritual birth. But we also reach out to others, including them, in their remembrance. There is nothing wrong with celebrating in this way. The important thing to remember is that true recognition and acknowledgement take place in the soul of man. The outer display of festivity, it is symbolic of that inner feeling of joy, and it is meant to be expressed. Now, I spoke earlier about setting boundaries concerning what we invite into and entertain in our consciousness. Each of us brings upon ourselves a consequence of our own thinking. Remember, back when we allow our thoughts to dwell on the busyness of preparation, on the outer display, we lose a sense of the true reason of the activity. And in no time, we become overwhelmed and weary, and we definitely are not enjoying what we are doing. When this happens, we really just want the event to go away, so that we can get back to those comfortable places we are used to. But now we are setting boundaries for ourselves. We no longer approach life with the attitude of routine and limitation. We know us as spiritual being, and this being will not be contained. To live according to the nature of Christ, we become as little children, open and receptive. We take no thought for ourselves. God alone provides and protects. The nature of Christ is symbolized as the trust and faith of a child. A child knows nothing of having to battle the world for a livelihood, concerned about his next meal. The spiritual child knows nothing of the world's beliefs and opinions. The attitude of the child of God is one of love. Love for God love for himself and for his fellow man. Let us acquaint ourselves with his being. We entertain the Christ idea in our individual consciousness. Any measure of spiritual light raised up in an individual brings a new attitude about life. And really, the only place we can develop a new attitude of life is in that place of lifted consciousness. When we climb to the top of a mountain, we do so to gain a new perspective of what lies below. The scene from the mountaintop, it provides a view that is not limited to the range of what the human eye can see. It reveals clarity and order in place of limitation and restriction. The top of the mountain is a place of peace and serenity. It is above the cities and above the valleys. It is above the noise of traffic and the sound of argument. The view from the top reveals a serenity that is not present in the normal range of human understanding. The individual of the spiritual light is raised to that place of higher consciousness. That place of higher consciousness is sometimes referred to as the mountaintop. Now, the one who climbs this mountain does so to gain a new perspective of life, one that goes beyond the words and thoughts of material form. The scene from the high mountain provides a viewpoint of life that goes beyond human comprehension. This mountaintop, the one available to spiritual being, it is not in some far-off place. It is an inner place, and we climb it in our time of meditation. The view from this high place reveals divine order. It speaks of eternal life and of the here-ness and the now-ness of God. Contact is made, and we hear those words, "This is my child in whom I am well pleased." No one can take this from us. And now we know that we know. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of our mouths come knowledge and understanding. This morning we have the opportunity to go to that high place and be alone with God. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us pause a moment and give recognition to the indwelling presence that never leaves us or forsakes us. I in the midst of us is holy. It is of God. And when we turn to this presence, we find us in a place of solitude, a place of serenity not touched by the human experience. Let us rest in this moment. We become still and we listen with the receptivity of the inner ear. And we hear marvelous things. I am your reason and your purpose for being. I go before you accomplishing what is given you to do. I am wisdom that knows all things. I am peace, joy, harmony, and love. I am these things because I am of God. The Son knows the Father, and he hears him call his name. It doesn't matter where we find us, God is there. It does not matter what we are going through, God is there. Through the times of joy or sorrow, we are not alone. And so I say, thank you, Father. I listen and I obey. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.